B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what the weirdest game you've ever played is in celebration of the release of Death Stranding. Also, we're going to tell you about some important changes coming to Checkpoint XP. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Google's foray into the gaming space is just around the corner with the Stadia set to launch on November the 19th. However, the launch library is looking a little pitiful. The system is only coming out with 12 titles on it, and only two of them, I believe two of them are new releases.
Yeah.
New
titles. I'm not terribly happy about this, but Joe, you're the only one who's actually invested here.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Joseph? I mean,
it's disappointing. You can't spin it any other way. It's definitely a disappointment. I know we're getting 14 more titles before the end of 2019, so, and there are some good titles on there. There's things like Red Dead 2 and stuff, but like, there's no other way to look at it. It's disappointing. I would hope for more than that.
Especially with a lot of those games coming out for systems where you can play them natively for like under $20. I know Red Dead's super reduced right now. Odyssey is under $20 right now. But, so those games are available elsewhere for cheaper.
Yeah, and that's really the problem. Really, we don't know what these games are going to cost on Stadia at launch. There needs to be some discounting going on.
Oh, absolutely, because you're already invested in, you know,
already $130 in on the platform.
Exactly. So, yeah, so whatever it's going to cost on the platform itself is another cost on top of it. Honestly, the only game that I was even interested in was Elder Scrolls Online, so it saves me a bit of hard drive space.
Right.
But this is really not impressing me here.
Yeah, I'm interested in playing Grid on there, which is a racing game that they have coming out. They have a 40-player mode, so you can have like 40 people in the race. Like,
wow, literally, that's like, actually kind of cool.
It is, and they're like, I'm sorry, other hardware can't handle it, but it will be on Stadia.
So interesting. Cool. I didn't know you were into racing.
I do like racing games.
Interesting.
The much maligned Sonic movie finally released their new trailer, and this time around it actually looks passable. Gone is the soulless, uncanny valley that was human-eyed Sonic.
And teeth.
And human teeth Sonic. Now the speedster's design is much more in line with how he looks in current-gen games. That film's due out in February of 2020.
I gotta say, I don't think this is just a redesign of the character. I think they might have rewritten a little bit of it, too, because in some of the redesign,
sure,
he's holding the ring, which apparently lets him go in between, you know, his dimension and our dimension.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I'm kind of low-key excited.
It just looks like a better movie.
Yeah.
It looks out and out like a better movie.
It looks like a passable kids movie, not the uncanny spawn of that weird Cats movie that's supposed to be coming out.
Oh.
Right? But I will say that the actual design on Sonic is way better. I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's Sonic. Now, to your point, I do think that there have been some rewrites and some script punch-ups, because there is way more shtick going on in this trailer than there was in the last trailer, and I'm not sure all of it was good.
You guys are being a little bit short-sighted here, though. He comes from his dimension to ours using a portal. If this goes over well, and we know the Pokemon movie did, we're looking at the start of the Super Smash Brothers cinematic universe.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, my God.
Shut up, Robbie.
Absolutely not.
Give Sakurai a break. Let him rest.
Pokemon fans are reeling from the recent announcement that Game Freak has no plans to include the National Pokedex with Pokemon Sword and Shield. This means that the over 500 Pokemon have been removed from the game, and that software such as Pokemon Home will not be able to import those Pokemon, at least into Pokemon Sword and Shield.
And here's the thing, because people are calling this Dexit, like this is...
Dexit?
Dexit, yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
Which
though.
Is pretty funny, I will give you that. But a lot of fans are deeply, deeply divided over this, and I kind of understand that. If your game series has been running since the late 90s, and the entire time you've been dedicated to allowing players to transfer their very original Pokemon up to the most current series of games. And to let that fall off, I think, is a real big betrayal of what fans expect out of the series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it as a fan of the series. Here's where I do have a problem with it. Your whole marketing campaign since the word go
is that this is the biggest Pokemon game ever.
No, I mean since Red Version has been gotta catch them all.
To be fair, they abandoned that saying a while ago.
Did they?
Yeah, they haven't constantly been using that. But look, I'll say this for anyone who's disappointed about it, because I guarantee you some of my favorite, I'm sure, are in that 500 that has been excluded as well. Whatever the next iteration is, whatever the Sword and Shield 2 is, or the next one, will be obviously built in the same engine. And I'm sure that over time, all Pokemon will eventually be included in this game.
Maybe.
Look, I'll leave you 30-year-olds out there complaining about this. Rein it in a bit, guys.
Listen, Kabutops is not in it, and that is that's a deal breaker for me.
No!
Oh, that's brutal.
That's a deal breaker for me. I'm not doing it. If I can't use my favorite Pokemon, not going to even.
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? It's not even a Pokemon game at that point.
For those of you into the older Japanese role-playing games, an all-time classic has finally made it stateside. Romancing Saga 3, originally released by Squaresoft 24 years ago, has now released on basically all modern consoles. The game has never been released in North America, so if you're craving some of that old-school JRPG fun, head on over and check it out.
I actually think this may be my stopover game over the winter break. There's a lot of stuff that I've been playing, but I feel like, you know, while Call of Duty is kind of going to be one of my everyday games, I do want something that's going to hold me over until, you know, Final Fantasy and Cyberpunk. I would love to get back into the JRPG mode with a game that I really always wanted the chance to play.
I mean, honestly, Square Enix has been really good about going back and kind of remastering and re-releasing some of these older games that never really made it stateside.
Yeah, so, writing some of the wrongs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can see why people would be excited.
Bring Bahamut Lagoon!
Yes, please.
I love that game. I love Bahamut Lagoon. I want that back. Yes.
Fans of the Alien franchise rejoice. An official Alien tabletop RPG is going to be released next month. The 392-page core rulebook will allow players to dive deep into the world of Alien, and it'll be released on December the 10th. All right.
I could see getting into this.
I mean,
I could see getting deep into this.
Alien is a really cool, still very open universe to explore around. I would not mind doing a tabletop RPG of Alien, honestly.
That'd be pretty sweet. I would be so in.
392 pages. That's a crunchy book.
That's deep, man.
There's a lot going on there.
Absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we may have a new desert bus. We've gotten a look at a new flight simulator due out in 2020, and no, it's not Microsoft Flight Simulator. This one is called Airplane Mode, and it simulates a flight. A 6-hour flight in economy on a commercial plane, complete with occasional turbulence, screaming kids, and bad Wi-Fi.
Can we upgrade to first class?
You cannot.
Why don't we just make hell the video game? That's pretty much what you're describing.
It's pretty hilarious. I'm into it, though. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. This week marked the release of Disney+. Disney's new streaming service is set to get head-to-head with the likes of Netflix, and after some initial hiccups, it's been pretty well received.
Yeah, so when it first dropped on Tuesday, that was... Well, it didn't work for most people.
It got hit with the same thing that online games get hit with the day they cut the servers on.
Oh, yeah.
Everything implodes in and of itself, and they have a hamster wheel running the servers.
But can you remember a streaming service that has had that kind of launch ever?
Only games. Never an actual service itself.
But at the same time, how many streaming services have launched to the same amount of fanfare, to the same amount of... Just straight up human interest that Disney Plus has.
The closest that I think that would have came to this, and I don't even think that they ever had any issues, was when Game of Thrones premiered.
Oh, yeah, because that first day, there was a lot of people who had trouble watching Game of Thrones.
Was there? I can't remember if there was or not.
No, because
there must have been millions of people watching
there
that.
There were, but if I recall correctly, HBO Now and all the other streaming stuff that they had was not out yet, because I watched the first season of Game of Thrones on regular cable.
Well, it wouldn't have been the first season because nobody knew it was going to be that popular at the time.
Yeah, but even season two was regular cable.
Yeah. So I understand that most of you at this table right now have actually subscribed. I might be the only outlier and not subscribed.
I haven't yet, but after a message from my girlfriend today, I intend to.
So, okay, so what are you guys watching on it? Obviously, The Mandalorian is obvious, but what
Spider
else?
Spider-Woman 1987. Sorry, 1979.
Why?
Why?
Because it looks terrible. And it was technically the first Marvel animated series.
I suppose.
Joe, what about you? You've actually started to dig into some of it.
Well, yeah, I watched the first episode of The Mandalorian, and I have now gotten in and started watching Gargoyles.
What a classic.
The 1994 animated show. Oh, my God. I was terrified that I was going to fire that one up, and like my childhood was just going to be over, because I was like, oh, no, it looks terrible.
But they spent a lot of money on that animation, man. It looks gorgeous, even still to this day.
Even today, that series looks great.
Norris, what about you?
I'm definitely going to be watching the old X-Men cartoon, that got progressively worse as it went on, and I'm here for it. And
one's not going to look very good.
No, and I don't care.
Okay, that's good.
But I'm also going to be watching The Mandalorian and all the Star Wars stuff, and maybe some old obscure stuff like Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You had mentioned Pepper Ann, which was one.
Dude, I want to relive.
From growing up, man.
I want to relive one Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
If I can.
Put on like Recess and Pepper Ann, and I don't even remember what else. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What are you excited to dig into on the Disney Plus service? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what's the weirdest game you've ever played to celebrate the launch of Death Stranding. Plus, we're going to tell you about some changes that are due here at Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we're going to check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Riot Games is considering establishing a League of Legends World Cup. We'll tell you about it.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. Still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what the weirdest game you've ever played in honor of the release of Death Stranding. Plus, we've got a couple of announcements about some changes happening here at Checkpoint XP. Those discussions ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first...
Oh, my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
For the dog! It's
a disaster! Oh, another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
Riot Games is apparently considering establishing a World Cup for League of Legends. According to ESPN's Tyler Erzberger, it is a matter of when and not if. He continued to say in a tweet that Riot realizes players have a packed schedule already, but they would like to make a World Cup something worthwhile to play.
Basically, the anti-MSI, the anti-Rift Rivals. But the thing is that a World Cup could be engaging for a grand total of 3 countries. So... China, Korea.
That's it. You're done.
Actually, you're right, too.
Hang on. Well, let's actually clarify something, because we did just get through Worlds with League of Legends. What would be the big difference between the Worlds competition that we just got through and a World Cup?
A World Cup's primary difference would be that you have to play for the country that you're from. You can't mercenary out a bunch of guys from another region to come play for you because you're willing to cut the check.
Fair enough.
So, again, North America effectively out of it at that point. Europe effectively out of it at that point.
Hey, you know, people used to think the same thing in Overwatch, but look who took the gold this year.
You know what? You get a bunch of North American players all on the same team. Maybe they figure out a new meta. I don't know. I'm just spitballing
here. Here's the one thing, is that if they did set up some sort of World Cup system, this would behoove every region to do a little bit more at fostering their at-home talent instead of just going out and getting the big Korean or Chinese players.
And you know, one thing I like about this is Riot is saying, it is something we're going to do, but we're not going to do it until we have it right. Yeah. We don't want this to be something where players are like, ugh, what a waste of time. We want this to be something that would you know, people take pride in.
Yeah, and they're looking at Blizzard and saying, anything you can do, we can do better.
That too. Evil Geniuses has made already a big splash upon their return to CSGO this year, and they're looking to do the same thing in League of Legends. According to multiple reports, EG is signing away 2019 LCS MVP Sven Skarin and support player Zazel from Cloud9.
Wow.
Both players were part of the C9 team, which was the most successful North American team at Worlds ever, falling to Fnatic in the semifinals.
An absolute coup from Evil Geniuses. Seriously, a coup. They threw the bag at Sven Skarin. They had to. He was the MVP, and you can't tell me that he didn't feel raw after not being played that first week of groups at Worlds.
I think
you
that might,
can't tell me.
That's part of it. I think the first part is probably the most accurate. I think Evil Geniuses cut the check, and we're willing to say, like, I think Zazel is a good signing. I don't think it's an incredible signing, but I think Sven Skarin's obviously an amazing signing. He's one of the best players in North America.
Right.
And what this does for Evil Geniuses is it really lets them set their foundation around those two players.
And they can start building around them.
Right.
Yeah.
Now players from other places are going to say, wait, I can go play with Sven Skarin. I don't have to come up on a team that's just five people no one's ever heard of. But that's enticing.
But at the same time, this guts the core of C9. What's C9 going to do?
I mean, yeah, they're going to build around like players like Sneaky and whatnot. But you're right. You don't get the season or the split MVP taken off your team and not feel the effects of it at all. It's definitely going to be an adjustment period for C9 too.
Absolutely.
Curious to see who they try to sign away in free agency this year. Apparently, some psychic medium was able to have a perfect bracket all the way from groups to the finals at the League of Legends World Championship.
Wow.
A user named Last Breath from the EUS server said that he knew that FunPlus Phoenix was the best team in the tournament. The completed bracket will win him every ultimate skin in the game and over $100 value. And I gotta say something. That doesn't sound that impressive for how difficult it is to do a perfect bracket. I mean, we compare it to things like March Madness, where it's like, if you get a perfect bracket, you win $1 billion. Because the odds of getting a perfect bracket are
slim to none.
They're ostensibly zero.
Yeah, but even in the conversations that we were kind of having and privy to, there was not a lot of people who were like, FunPlus Phoenix, that's the one that's gonna go.
Yeah, and I mean, again, FunPlus Phoenix, for a team that most people before this year had never even heard of, for them to come all the way is very impressive. But again, of all the people who play League of Legends and filled out a bracket, one person got it right, and the prize is like $100 worth of skins?
Still, though, it's pretty impressive.
It is very impressive.
But you can flex those skins. Those are some impressive skins.
Esports is officially reaching the big time when it comes to salaries, especially when League of Legends is concerned. Reports are coming out that Dignitas's top laner, Huni, has agreed to a 2-year extension. The deal is reportedly worth $2.3 million in guaranteed money, according to ESPN's Jacob Wolf.
Yikes!
That bag!
Yeah, we have officially reached that. Not only have we reached a point where we're seeing 7-figure salaries, but we're starting to see the words guaranteed money thrown around. And that is one of the, I think, the key things for esports, because one of the big issues that we see is your longevity in esports is a little bit limited, whether it's because you age out of it or you're not practicing hard enough or you can't put in the effort anymore. This is a big thing to see guaranteed money start coming through.
Absolutely.
Whether you're skeptical if True Damage could live up to the KDA hype or not, the numbers do not lie. The in-universe League of Legends music group saw almost 7 million views in 24 hours.
Wow.
That puts it just barely behind the pace of KDA, but not by very much.
That's impressive. I mean, they can't keep out doing themselves year over year, although...
Or can they?
Next year does sound like they're pulling out all the stops, so...
That'd be pretty impressive. The CSGO giants Astralis have returned to form with a massive massive win over the new and improved 100 Thieves at IEM Beijing. Outside of a close Vertigo map to open the match, nothing was ever really in doubt as it ended 3-0 in the Danish team's favor. By the way, they didn't lose a single map the entire tournament.
Wow.
It seemed like earlier this year we were a little concerned that maybe they
started to fall off. Yeah.
And then they took that little break to kind of get their heads on right. And ever since they've come back, they've been right back to winning a lot.
It's pretty impressive.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website. That's checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. This season of Overwatch League marks the beginning of home and away games. It's a monumental moment, not just for the Overwatch League, but also for esports in general.
That's right. I mean, when the Overwatch League first came out and mentioned the franchise model, a lot of people didn't think it would work. It has. And now going into 2020, that's the only major change that they're looking at is home and away. And I think there are still some people who are on the fence about whether or not it's going to work or what the importance of it is really going to end up being.
Well, let me point something out about that, because you mentioned people were skeptical whether the franchise model would work. And I think clearly we're starting to see that across multiple esports that it is. We just saw Hooney's getting $2.3 million in guaranteed money. That contract's not happening if that organization's mm-hmm. not profitable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the model can work.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I think that if you were a fan of organizations before the franchising hit, putting them in cities doesn't, I think, dissuade you in any way from not being fans anymore.
No, it's just the fundamental question of how you motivate people on a local level to attend something in person. It's way different than trying to attract digital eyeballs to your platform.
Well, which is why I think the homestand method that Overwatch is doing, it kind of makes more sense in this context.
Sure does.
As opposed to having one team travel to one place to play one game, which can be incredibly expensive. What you do is you run these homestands where multiple teams are going to one place, and it almost is like a traveling circus in a way, where you know this is the weekend Overwatch is in town. So even if you live in a place that's sort of close by, or if you're a fan of a team that is not necessarily your city, but you want to see the live experience, you can go and check it out.
But the important thing there is that the franchise model isn't a play at, you know, the wide world of esports. It's at the home games. It's at those people who live in those cities. And I actually got to speak with the general manager of the Houston Outlaws. Matt Flame Rodriguez, and he had this to say on home and away games.
I mean, I'm pretty pumped. I think one thing that's been kind of looming since Overwatch League started has been this concept of home away. Like when Overwatch League was originally pitched, they were saying, oh, you know, we're going to have home games and away games. And everyone was like, that's kind of crazy. And so I think to have it finally coming to fruition in some capacity, even if it is just homestands, is like massive, because I know that selling the geolocation idea was very good for our fans. Like, obviously, there's a lot of Texas backing behind our team, but we've never actually been able to do live matches for them. So just having that ability to, you know, finally come home and give these people who have been kind of waiting for us for 2.5 years, so like something to, you know, come and experience with us is like very, very positive.
If you were a Cloud9 fan before the Overwatch League, you were probably still a London Spitfire fan, right?
Despite the fact that they may not be
sure
right in your backyard.
But now that you have these franchise models, you really have to make a play at your home games to get people that may not have cared who Cloud9 to now come and care about it and be passionate about it.
You're absolutely right. And he brings up a great point that there has been 2.5 years worth of a foundation, a promotional foundation laid to be able to, you know, attract attention to these events.
There are Houston fans who have never seen Houston in person.
Exactly. And I think that's what they're banking on. And as you had alluded to, Norris, the homestand format is a real great way to kind of test those waters and see whether or not a more permanent home and away sort of fixture ends up working in seasons moving forward. It's something completely untested in all of esports, and this is a really, really gutsy move on the part of the Overwatch League.
But make no mistake that, like, just like the last 2 years have been laying the foundation for this, this is laying the foundation for what the next step is.
Yes.
Which will be that week over week, hey, we have home and away esports every single week. Come check it out. This will be the testing ground for that sort of thing. If they're selling out the arena every single time it happens, you better believe we'll be seeing it more and more frequently.
You're absolutely right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. If you had local esports events running weekly in your city, Would you go attend them live? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what the weirdest game you've ever played is in celebration of the release of Death Stranding. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida on 99.3 FM. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com, whether it's our podcasts, our thoughts on the latest stories in gaming and esports, or some Checkpoint XP merch. It all lives over at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us over on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, in celebration of maybe the weirdest game released
ever
in the last like 10 years, we are celebrating the release of Death Stranding.
That's right.
And ask you what the weirdest game you've ever played is. And we got some phenomenal responses here, but I just wanted to go around the room and ask you guys what the strangest game you've ever played is. So Joe, what's the weirdest game you've ever played?
I think the weirdest game that I ever played was probably Toe Jam and Earl.
Really?
That
not,
is
not the
not,
game
it's
where
not
you
that
were,
weird.
What about that game where you were a dude in a pot climbing a mountain of stuff?
Okay. You know what? Bennett Foddy's getting over
it. You know what? I take it back. Getting Over It is the weirdest and most infuriating game I've ever played. I had blocked it out of my memory, and I appreciate you storing
actually,
that for me.
I saw something recently that would probably make you even madder than playing that game did.
I doubt it.
It was a speed run.
Oh, I've watched the speed run of it. Some guy beat it in like a minute.
Yeah.
Infuriating.
It is infuriating. Robbie, what about you? What is the weirdest game you've ever played?
So for me, it was a recent one, and that would be Control by Remedy, which is something
again,
that's not that weird, I don't think. I mean, here's what I liked about it, though, that I think other games or movies of that type get caught up on, or that people get caught up on, is needing to have things explained to you. Or why, basically. And that game was so unapologetic in the way that the NPCs and even the main character just came to, that's weird. Okay, I accept it. I'm in a place where weird stuff happens. And I accept it. And it was just able to sort of let loose as a result.
All right, fair enough. Norris, what about you?
Mine is not necessarily weird because of its content, but it's weird because of its concept. And it's called Maui, Millard, and Cold Shadow. It is basically, you play as Donald Duck, who's a detective in Hawaii.
So Maui,
but,
Mallard.
Yes, but he transforms into a ninja after you walk inside of like totems, and he has a bandana around his eyes. It is the strangest concept.
Was this a licensed Disney product? It's a Disney interactive game.
You know what? That reminds me. How about Star Wars for the NES, where you fight Darth Vader in the Sandcrawler, and he turns into a scorpion after you beat him?
That was a weird sequence.
I don't know about that.
I think the weirdest game that I have ever played, both in concept, in execution and experience, has got to be Seaman.
Seaman's a good one.
You know what? Now, I just want to paint a picture for some of our listeners that maybe have never experienced Seaman.
If you didn't have a Dreamcast.
If you weren't one of the seven people that owned a Dreamcast, what Seaman was it was a fish with a thing. Human head.
Yeah.
No, it was a fish with a human head.
Yeah. Who eventually became a frog with a human head.
Yes. But it was sort of like a Tamagotchi. It was like virtual pet.
I remember every time we'd boot it up at my friend's house, they would just tell us all the famous people whose birthdays happened on that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
they'd talk to you.
Yep. He would ask you like weird questions like, how well do you get along with your parents and stuff like that. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
He was weird.
It definitely, there was a lot of weirdness going on there. I don't even know who approves a concept like that.
Nate, you know what? I think you just proved us all wrong. Your answer is just the correct answer. Yeah. C-Man is tough to top.
I appreciate being told that I was correct. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently going through our social media question. We asked you what the weirdest game you've ever played is. So let's take a look at some of the social media responses.
Yep. So Jessica over on Facebook said We Happy Few was pretty odd, though it was definitely trying to be kind of odd. I would agree
with
that.
That's fair.
That's still one that I haven't picked up yet that I kind of really want to.
Yeah. I'm very curious about We Happy Few, although, I don't know, I heard a lot of mixed things about it, so yeah, probably will avoid.
Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of great things about it. Yeah. Jake over on Facebook says, Portal, let's be honest with ourselves, it is one of the greatest games ever made, but the quirky obscurity to the dialogue and the caricature is what made it so lovably strange.
I mean, there was a lot of non sequiturs in there, but I don't know that just makes a strange game. It just makes for a funny moment.
There's also a lot of fat shaming too, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, if you just took maybe the end hour of Metal Gear Solid 2, that was one of the stranger experiences I've ever had in a video game.
I can't believe that nobody put on here the Untitled Goose Game.
That is, you know what?
Weird. Objectively weird.
Legitimately strange.
Or Goat Simulator.
Goat Simulator is just living weirdness.
Chris on Facebook says, tie between Mischief Makers or The Legend of the Mystical Ninja starring Goemon, both on the N64.
That's not weird. That game is not weird. That game is Japanese kitsch turned up to 1,000.
That sounds weird.
I mean, that can be weird.
Do you remember the song and dance sequence where they bring about the giant robot for the first
time? Yeah, Impact.
Yeah. It's weird. It was a great game.
Low-key, one of my favorite games of all time.
I loved it, too.
Something we've learned now. Norris is weird, and weird can't tell weird.
Space Channel 5 is also a pretty weird game when you think about it.
Yes.
Without a doubt. So is Jet Grind Radio.
Jet Grind Radio is very weird. Yeah. It's like if you took spray painting and the Warriors and like mashed them together and put rollerblades on them.
Nathan says Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim was a little weird. I don't know that it's
that was
that
the 90s.
Weird.
That was the 90s.
There was the part where you're riding the rocket through space and collecting atoms. That was kind of odd.
Or catching the cows.
I mean, to be fair, you're playing a sentient earthworm, so it is kind of weird.
Yeah, who also doubles as a salamander sometimes. Chuck Bean says Hotline Miami 2. Fair enough.
That is a weird, very violent video game, yes.
Yes, it is. McChizu in the chat has a good one, No More Heroes and Killer 7.
That is
anything made by Suda51.
Yeah. Suda51's entire lexicon counts
as weird.
What was
the one about Michigan? That he made.
Report from Hell.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Something.
It's awful. Yeah. It's so dark you can't see anything. It's a terrible game. I hated it. I hated every second of it. Thank you for reminding me. We also got a Robin on Facebook who says, when I first played Katamari Damacy.
That's a weird game. That's a weird.
And I think King of All Cosmos qualifies as like weirdest game characters ever.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll definitely give you that.
Steven on here says probably Pepsi Man, but I'm also going to throw in Cool Spot along with that. Cool Spot is an objectively weird game. It's just product placement. You play as the 7-Up Spot.
Nothing weird about that.
No. What's weird about it is that we still talk about it and remember it.
Yeah.
And that it was a halfway decent video game.
Cool Spot was a decent game.
Yeah, nothing about that says good video game. All right.
Gabriel on Twitter is the last one.
One more, yeah.
I Am Bread. I looked it up.
You play as bread.
Bread Simulator.
Octodad is another real good, real weird game.
Yep. You control a slice of bread?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And try to get yourself toasted without getting yourself dirty. It's the goal.
That's so weird.
It is very weird.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Make sure you follow us on social media so that you can answer next week and every week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles and the Checkpoint XP podcast, head on over to checkpointxp.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew. Lead segment producing by Norris Howard. Producing and booking help from Chad Callahan. And I'm sad to announce that this is our last episode with Joe Sloan. Though he's not going anywhere, he's still very much a part of the brand. You can catch him on the new Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast, available in January. And, of course, my co-host to pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
All righty.
Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Alrighty.
You guys didn't miss anything. We just haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah, don't worry. We haven't talked about it yet. So, obviously, what we got a little bit there at the end of that last segment is this is my last day on the radio show.
And you didn't drink your damn going away Coke.
I did not drink my going away Coke.
You can look forward to coming in every morning and seeing a nice, cold, refreshing beverage on your desk.
I really hope that you are willing to commit that kind of effort and funding into this project.
I'll just have to go and start buying
them in bulk.
Six packs, yeah. Definitely spend $2, you know, every day to get them out of the...
I agree. That's insane. Joe's taking his talents to South Beach.
Although, I will say that...
We're sending him back to developmental.
Yeah. I'm going to OVW for a little bit.
Well, you know, look, we'll still call him in here on occasion to rag on him for not knowing what a panini is.
Right. So,
I'm assuming you'll be available you know, League of Legends discussions and stuff like that.
If you guys need me for something, I'll be around. Yeah. So here's the gist of what's going to happen. Obviously, we can't talk about exactly everything, but
there's a lot that's going on right now, guys.
So here's the bulk of it. We are scaling up for a major overhaul to the product in 2020, which is going to be pretty awesome overall. We are thrilled to announce that we're going to be able to attend more events and do all kinds of really cool stuff. One of the changes that is getting made, though, is I am being removed from the radio show. In addition, the daily podcast as we know it is going to be going on to hiatus soon, trademark. We're not exactly sure. And, some Final Fantasy XI music comes on right on time. That's fitting.
I think this will be the last Checkpoint XP Daily for a while.
I think you're correct.
The podcast.
The podcast.
Yes. The podcast, right. So, in January, we will be coming back. Well, Checkpoint XP Daily will be coming back with not one, but two shows. The esports and the video game shows are going to be kind of separated into two shows. I will be hosting them along with a new co-host who we cannot yet reveal, but it's pretty exciting. We're looking forward to doing that. The radio show will be living on its own podcast
feed. That's right.
So that if you are diehard and you really want to get the radio show, we would first of all encourage you to find your local affiliate or any of our affiliates where you can catch their on their website and listen to us live, please, because that does help our metrics so much when you do that. But if you really want to get it on the podcast, there will be a podcast feed available for you to download the show.
Co-host is not Scuro.
We're not. I mean, you know,
it's someone you will enjoy.
So clearly, the radio show is not available available in every market across the United States. It will still be made available digitally as a podcast. Look for the new Checkpoint XP On Demand podcast feed coming to the radio, to the website, as soon as next week.
Yes.
Also,
and that'll be all, I mean, it'll be like an hour and a half runtime, but it's technically all 2 hours of the radio show.
Right. It is also worth noting, too, that we're not just emptying the chair. Rick is Weird Beard is going to be stepping
in. Yeah, somebody want to go get him?
You guys want to grab him real quick? You're still
Rick! I got him.
Yeah. But Weird Beard's going to be stepping in, and he'll be kind of taking on the in-studio producer role.
Yes.
Is, I think, how it's being stated.
That's so right. Yes, so let's everyone welcome the newest addition to the Checkpoint XP cast, Weird Beer.
Hey!
A.K.A. New Joe.
Welcome, A.K.A. New... No, give him a nicer title than that. That's not very nice.
If he's taking your spot, he's got to get used to it.
He's the Joe.
Yeah, the Joe.
There it is. It's like being the Meg.
Hard Slot saying congratulations, they asked everything. Congratulations. Trashpan TV asking, am I going to still be a producer? I will still be involved with the project. I don't know what the title exactly will be, but I'm still going to be involved.
He's
with the
getting his own show.
Yeah, I am. Two of them, in fact.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we'll have three people with their own shows from this table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
I mean, technically, the main show is your show.
Yeah, if you want to think of it that way.
But anyway, it's a lot of change coming, but at the same time, we're really excited for all the stuff.
Yeah, this is a lot to get excited about. Like, I understand some trepidation on the part of our audience, but this is a lot of stuff to get really excited about. Like, the Daily Show is going away, but when it comes back, you get two Daily Shows. Yeah, exactly.
And the radio show is not disappearing.
Yeah, the radio show's not going anywhere.
We're
going
to be able to stream a lot.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to actually have some time to stream. We're going to have time to do some fun behind the scenes videos that we have had I can't stress to you guys enough how we've had time to do nothing outside of what we do.
Yeah.
And we're going to actually have time to do things again, which is going to be nice.
Part of the thing that necessitates a lot of this change is that all of us were redlined. Like, all of us were so busy, we'd go home and we would just be burnt out messes because we would just be focusing all of our energy here. Yeah. This allows us to kind of spread some of the responsibilities out between us.
Yeah.
And so we can get more done. At the end of the day, you're actually going to end up getting more content out of Checkpoint XP. It sounds like it's going to be less, but when everything is back up and running and, you know, running on all cylinders, it's going to be way, way more.
So it also be better quality, too.
January 6th. Yes. Mark your calendars.
That's right.
If you're trying to help out, if you're trying to get involved, now is the time to maybe send a message or an email to some folks.
I just want to tell you guys, we got to look earlier this week at what events that we're going to have some representation at and get to attend this year.
I got the list in my briefcase right now.
I've got it posted on my wall at home. It's guys, this coming year is going to be freaking incredible.
It's
going
to be super exciting.
Let me make one point. This is the time that we need the most support from people, because especially
don't pull back now.
To take you behind the curtain, you know, like in media, it's really hard to be your own cheerleader. Like you can't, cause it's like, oh yeah, it's your stuff. Obviously you're excited about it. Like, cool. Like the big thing that's
like Reddit, no self promotion.
Yeah. You can't do self promotion. So what we need the most is we need cheerleaders.
Yeah.
We need people that are going to say, anything you guys are doing, we want to help you promote. We want to tell our friends about it. So it's just like with voting, to where you can't just vote for the people you like. You have to take other people to the voting polls to vote as well. Right now is when we need the people who are going to be the most invested to come forward and really be
a part of it. There is a street team tab in the Discord.
Boom.
Slide in the street team tab in the Discord if you are interested in how you can help us out as we move forward to the really it's almost like a relaunch of the brand
in a way.
Well, and Echo saying also, how do I get involved? Obviously, yes, the street team helps, but clicks is how you tell them, shares, likes, retweets, getting people to listen.
Yes,
if you don't already have it bookmarked, be visiting our site daily and reading the stuff that we put up there.
By the way, we're doing stuff new on the website. You don't even have to wait for January for that. That started now. Every article that we put up going forward is going to have our opinions attached to it.
It's not just rehashed stuff from Kotaku.
Exactly. If you want to know what we think about all the latest going on, make sure you're on our website.
I was going to say, moving forward, there's going to be a lot of ways for people to get involved in not just the street team, not just clicking and everything like that, but we're going to have focused weeks, right? Like, we're going to have periods where we're like, listen, gang, it's Facebook week. You know what I mean? Like, the biggest thing we can do is ask you to invite people to like the Facebook page, bang on our Facebook content. And then the next week after that, we're still going to be posting on Facebook, but it'll be Instagram week. Hey, man, we're out here. We're in the streets on Instagram. Yep. You know what I mean?
Come
find us. Let's do some stuff. And it's really kind of like we're building a base right now. We're taking what we have, solidifying it so that that's all good, so that the new content that we're putting out is able to live on its own. And it's really able to breathe. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing that you guys as viewers and consumers are going to appreciate, is the ability to have high quality products live in places that you already are.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. We're bringing more to you.
So one other change, too, is that our live schedule is going to be drastically altered with no more Checkpoint XP daily, at least for the short term. We will not be doing our daily show. However, we will be continuing to do Checkpoint AFK, also known as the Checkpoint XP podcast, Fridays here on the channel, starting in what, 4?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
Yep. Checkpoint XP.
Friday. Good way to wrap it up.
On campus is going to have its normal airtime.
That's right.
Is not changing. So make sure you guys check in at Thursdays at 10. At 10 p.m. Eastern. That's not going anywhere. But also just stay glued to your push notifications, because there will be moments where we'll be taking the channel live for game streams. Sometimes we may just throw it on just because we miss y'all and we're going to chat.
And I mean, I would hope, you know, going forward here, whenever a new game comes out, we're going to stream it on release day.
That's right.
We're gonna have time to do things like that.
There's also going to be a way for you guys to get involved more. We're soon going to have an 800 number or an 888 number so we can call in.
Yes.
Feature some people on the show and everything like that.
Yep. Leave your voicemails.
Yeah, like the biggest thing that we're going to be looking at here, not only for social, not only for all this kind of stuff, we're trying to build out ways for people to communicate with the show.
Yep.
That's right.
What it's felt like a lot is that you guys do a great show in here, but you're kind of on an island, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to get out there and it's hard to break out and touch. Not creepy, but like touch and make contact with all these different people.
And feel up these other people. I got you. And I see what you're saying.
So what we're going to be doing is really, like, I'm investing a lot of time and energy into making sure that to bring in viewers and listeners and consumers to be a part of this, so that it's not so, hey, we're going to spend 40 hours just trying to bang out content.
Yep.
A lot of this is, what do you have to say? This is giving a platform to the people who want the platform to say something.
And like I said, guys, interface with us on all of the social medias, interface with us on, you know, the Discord, all that stuff. You guys know me. I'm always responding to tweets and all that kind of stuff. Make sure you do that. But also, like I said, it's not like this. This Twitch is not going dark for 2 months. There will be content here, but that usual 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock block of the daily show, that is over for now.
Right. Yes. We'll be doing other things hopefully at that time. And I mean, just as an example, Ross, Rick, something you and I wanted to start working on this week, cause we actually have some time to do it. The Star Wars EU, according to Joe.
Yeah, we're going to,
that's you want to hear about all the best stuff out of the Star Wars EU? I got you covered. We're going to start doing that this week.
I mean, again, you guys said it. You needed more bandwidth. And the way to do that is, like, you can't produce the movie. You can't run craft services. You can't act in it. You can't be the director. You can't do all that kind of stuff. We're building a team to make sure Checkpoint XP is able to provide for all these people. You want more Star Wars content? Boom, done.
There you go.
Let's make it happen.
Just to reiterate, even though things are changing, it does not mean we want you to unfollow the channel. Does not mean that we will not be going live. It doesn't mean that you should unsubscribe from the daily podcast feed.
Because stuff is going
there,
too.
Because it's coming back. You should not unsubscribe from any of the podcast feeds. Because while some of them may be going on a hiatus for a little bit, we're going to be bringing them back in the new year, stronger, bigger, badder than ever.
And that's not just the daily podcast, by the way. Like, low team damage, other identity. When they come back, they're coming back amazing.
That's all new, right. All different Ultimate Rebirth.
You got it.
That's
so
right.
Gonna be, you guys are going to be super into some of these changes.
I'm glad you didn't say New 52.
Yeah.
We actually workshopped that out when we were originally pitching it. We're like, New 52?
No. New 52. All new, all different.
Yeah, that's a better way to go. Yeah.
Ultimate Rebirth.
All right, guys. Well, for a while, this might feel like goodbye, but it's not. Trust me.
Hell no, because I might see my ass tomorrow.
Reach out to us on social medias if you get lonely.
Yeah. CheckpointXP.com, though, is always the place where you can consume all things Checkpoint XP.
And yes, Trash Panda, D&D is still going.
Yes.
Yes, that's another one that is not, that is not changing.
D&D is unaffected. But I do want to thank all of our loyal Twitch viewers who hang out with us every day.
I literally had to yell at people earlier today because I was sad. I didn't want to talk about this. I'm excited about all this new stuff that we're doing, but I didn't want to say this stuff to y'all because you guys have been so loyal and so awesome to us. But it took Rickathon over there to tell me.
Rickathon.
Hold on. Sounds like you wanted to pull at Xavier and shield them from the truth.
It was. It was. It was true. But it took Rickathon to say, you know what? We actually got a lot of really cool stuff.
Yes.
That we're working on.
Yeah.
And we need all hands on deck to be able to do it. Yeah. So, guys,
this is the time, man.
This is the time.
It's not. Yeah. It's nothing's going anywhere. If anything, we could say the beginning that we've been doing has been the test run. Now, this is when all the eyes are here. This is the time to deliver. We're in the big boy leagues
now. And listen, I'm gonna say this, guys. There is so much bubbling behind the scenes.
Oh yeah,
with this brand.
Oh yeah.
That when we come back, you are going to be floored, okay? Floored. And I'm not saying that shit lightly at all.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. Keep your eyes tuned to CheckpointXP.com and, of course, all of the social medias. And we will pop in here on the Twitch channel from time to time when we can. Thank you so much for all of your loyal support for these past couple of years while we've been doing this live here on Twitch. And we look forward to ushering in this new future of the brand together. Guys, thank you so much.
Bye.
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 Bye. Okay, bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.